All right, here we go. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, this special Memorial Day broadcast. It's brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. In the studio with me is my co-host today, Mr. Tom Lyons. I should introduce myself, too, let you know that I'm Doug Wortham here with Minnesota Military Radio. And Mr. Lyons, it's great to have you back in the studio. It's been a while since we've been together in the studio, and here you are again joining me on this special Memorial Day broadcast. And boy, Tom, it's been 16 years that we've been allowed to do this by iHeartMedia.
Happy to be here. Good morning, Doug. And the show goes back to November 1st, 2010. When there was a gentleman here at iHeartMedia named Andrew Lee. It was his idea to do a Minnesota military public affairs program. And he recruited me, and we started the show. And here we are, you know, many years later. And, of course, our first Memorial Day special live show was the following year, Memorial Day 2011. So this is 16th year that we've been here. We get up in the middle of the night, come on down, and a very, very special day. Memorial Day is... I had an incident yesterday. A good friend stopped by to talk to my son and I and thanked us for our service. He said, we're going to celebrate that. And we listened for a while, and I said, well, thank you. But Memorial Day is to talk about those who didn't make it home. Veterans Day is the day to talk about those of us who have served and were lucky enough to make it back. And, of course, I was lucky enough to make it back from Vietnam 54 years ago, and I don't know where all that time went either, but here we are on Memorial Day. It's a special day, and it's a day of remembrance. It's a day to remember 250 years of our service members putting up their hand, volunteering to take care of this great country, and all the rest of us benefit from the fact that they sacrificed their lives to support the freedom that we enjoy every single day in this special country.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it is great to remember. I had that brief moment of silence this morning as I put my flag at half mast today. And it'll be there, of course, until noon, and then we'll raise it up there.
And 3 o'clock today is special time,
too. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later on, too. We'll make sure we talk about that national moment of remembrance. But, Tom, you know, one of the things over the years that you've always appreciated, I know, because we've talked about it many times, is you've always enjoyed it when we were able to bring in some special guests from the Chaplain Corps. And this morning, as we have for many years here on this special edition of Minnesota Military Radio, we've been able to have chaplains from the Minnesota National Guard spend some time with us. And today we've got two chaplains that are hanging with us in the studio. And I thought I might kick it over to you and let you do a brief introduction and welcome the chaplains from the Minnesota National Guard to Minnesota Military Radio today.
Well, we got a bonus today. Usually we get the head chaplain. Buddy Wynn came in for years and years, except for the one year that he didn't get up enough.
But he paid the price by bringing donuts.
He called in and he brought in donuts. And he'll never live that one down. But Doug, seems like every time you ask me to come back and visit the show now that you're the primary host, there's a chaplain involved, and I love that because Minnesota National Guard has the best chaplain corps in the country, bar none. And we've got two chaplains with us today. Our state chaplain is Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Tim Ussett. Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio here on Memorial Day.
Happy to be here with you all again.
Okay, and you've brought the division chaplain with you. You want to introduce him?
Well, we have a new division chaplain in the 34th Infantry Division, Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Justin Finger, and I will turn it over to him to introduce himself.
Well, where do I begin on such a morning that's pretty somber? And where do you start to honor the legacy that we continue to carry as military service members? And so I just want to say thank you for the invitation, Chaplain Ussett, and the invitation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I want to, you know, talk about the purpose of today as we get deeper into the hour, because we have you here for the full 6 o'clock hour. But I thought because you're new to the show, Chaplain Finger, first time on the show, so we call you a rookie, and you're the division chaplain. Maybe you can just give us a little bit of an introduction about yourself, what brought you to the division, what does your chaplain corps look like, what was your calling?
Oh, okay, so actually it's a coming back home, and oddly enough, I think that's probably my theme for this Memorial Day. As it is for probably many speeches that we have, it's it's always about reflecting about what it means to be home, or what it is to even have a home. And so I started out my career in the Minnesota National Guard, ended up taking my first call out in North Dakota. Thought it was important to kind of live where you serve where you live. I kind of bought into that. So therefore, I interstate transferred out to North Dakota. Oddly enough, I took a different call back in Minnesota just 2 years later, but found the camaraderie, the esprit de corps within North Dakota that I just couldn't leave. And so I ended up staying there for just a number of years and continued to build those friendships and those connections, those memories that was home for the time being. Things began to change as they always do. I mean, that's the one constant thing that we have in life. And leadership was turning over within the Minnesota National Guard. And, I heard about Chaplain Usset being offered the position, as a new state chaplain. And I'm like, what would that be like? I mean, I knew a little bit of his background. We actually came up together in the Minnesota National Guard before I left. And I'm like, with that type of background, and maybe you can share a little bit about that. But I'm like, that's something I want to be a part of. And if I can nurture that and encourage that in any way. And it's not to say anything derogatory about those state chaplains that came before us, because everyone has their different energy, brings a different vitality and a different level of care to the soldiers in which they serve. And also, obviously, the culture in which they infuse within the chaplain corps itself in Minnesota. I knew it, obviously know a number of chaplains going all the way back to Colonel Anderson. It was an opportunity to work alongside of him that I just couldn't pass up. And so I got offered the division chaplain post, and I'm like, yeah, I think it's time to move back to Minnesota. I live in Cambridge. I know that within the upper echelons of leadership, actually, that's where they hail from as well, the Cambridge area. So I don't know, maybe there's something in the water that I can drink too. And,
sure.
You know, but nonetheless, it's good to be back. We had our first AT with division out in the field for the first time in like over a decade or something like that, setting up tents, sleeping in tents. Well, we were really hua is what they would.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah, he is.
They sent him to Siberia for 2 years and he came back.
Well, it must be quite an honor to be able to have your first position back with the Minnesota National Guard at the 34th Infantry Division. You know, of course, the storied Red Bull Division.
Yes.
Does it feel like a lot of weight on your shoulders? I mean, this is a huge legacy, and you're responsible for this division, this, again, storied element.
I think as you walk into the new division headquarters, I mean, you can't be simply captivated with awe as you walk into this building. Then obviously, as you walk into the kind of atrium narthex area, I suppose not a narthex, I mean, that's a church term, but an atrium welcome area, the displays along the side of
General Vesey everywhere.
Yes, yeah. About the stored history and just simply the, shoulders of giants that you kind of,
right,
in a way that you get to stand upon.
And you've got a great leadership team out there. Of course, General Shark, you've known him for quite a number of years. I got the opportunity to serve with him as well, so that must be a lot of fun. And I bet you he gives you pretty good guidance and direction about making sure those soldiers are taken care of, because the chaplain corps is extremely important.
It's extremely important to him, and actually every single level leadership within the division. And so, I mean, that's at least I've never encountered any type of negativity when it's come to the chaplain corps within North Dakota or Minnesota. That has never been my
little sideline. Years ago, when we first started the show, he was our boss over at the Minnesota National.
Oh, no kidding.
He's pretty familiar with the radio show.
Yeah, he certainly is. Well, I think we should refocus a little bit. And well, thank you both for your service, by the way, and thank you for being here this morning so nice, bright, and early. I do want to talk about Memorial Day, and we have like maybe 3 minutes left in this segment, 4 minutes, something like that. And Chaplain Usset, I just want to let you just take an opportunity maybe and talk about, what does a day like today mean to you personally, right? I mean, we've got 365 days out of the year, but Memorial Day is something special, I think, to a lot of us. And I'm just wondering if you might want to express a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, for me, Memorial Day is the mixing of family stories and experience with now what has become my lived experience in military service and chaplaincy. And the part of my family that is, my grandmother is a Gold Star I should say we're a Gold Star family. Her first husband was killed by friendly fire in the Second World War, and she's turning 102 here in a couple of days. So there's kind of this, my oldest uncle, who is also no longer with us, but there's this, well, he wasn't my grandfather, but, you know, he's part of the family and part of the family memory. And, of course, my grandfather served, and he did get to return home. But thinking about part of how that informed why I joined, and then now all of the soldiers, or I should say service members, it's not only Army, there's Air, Navy, and others that I've cared for over the years, either directly around people who have died in service to our country, or caring for those who were impacted by that. So for me, it's a mix of both the family story and now my lived experience of being a military chaplain, caring for folks that have died and not made it home. And it's again, going back to Justin talking about coming home, that there's just this recognition of those that haven't, and what that means for us, that those that are here, and how we can remember and honor that in meaningful ways.
Wow.
Doug, we're on our 250th anniversary. Just think of all the people that have raised their hands and served in this country, and hundreds of thousands, millions of them haven't made it home. That's what Decoration Day is about. That's what Memorial Day is about. Time for us to take a break and remember those who have served and given their lives for this country, so all the rest of us could live free and enjoy. What a great country. You know, we have freedom of speech, freedom of press, all those things. And if you watch that stuff every day, you think we're fighting in the streets. We're not. We have those freedoms. No other country in the world, can I tell you, I disagree with you and say it loudly and not get shot. This is America. This is freedom. And we should remember those who have paid the price for that freedom.
And you don't really have to go much further than in one of our state veteran cemeteries, our Fort Snelling National Cemetery, Arlington National Cemetery. You can walk through and see the number of people that have paid that price and, you know, to do exactly what you're talking about, Tom, and that is to allow us to enjoy the liberty and the freedom that we get to enjoy every single day.
And I was out there Saturday, by the way, and there were hundreds of volunteers putting up the flags, and I had a chance to say hello to about a dozen or so of my family and friends. We're going to have to take a short break, Doug, but I want to remind our listeners that this special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. You can find more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio on this special Memorial Day broadcast. It is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the studio with me, my co-host, Mr. Tom Lyons, and a couple of chaplains from the Minnesota National Guard, Chaplain Tim Ussett and Justin Finger. And Chaplain Ussett, before we were going into break, you were talking about kind of what Memorial Day means to you. You had mentioned about being a Gold Star family and, you know, meaning that someone who was serving, you're a family of someone who was serving that, you know, lost their life in that service. And often people get confused maybe about Gold Star, Blue Star, you know, and I think it's important to really understand the difference, knowing that a Blue Star family, someone who has someone who's serving. And, you know, they're serving and they're serving well. And of course, we always pay special recognition to those Gold Star families because, you know, that person, that service member's paid the ultimate sacrifice. And that's where I want to start with you is when we talk about that ultimate sacrifice in your duties as a chaplain. You've had to walk a path of loss with many people. Whether in your civilian job as a pastor, doing the things you do to take care of your own flock, obviously within the military, dealing with loss. And you were explaining kind of during the break a little bit about this spectrum of loss. And I want to give you an opportunity to really talk about how you care for those who are dealing with some type of a loss and, you know, how you do that and how do you help them? How do you assist someone to get through this time where maybe they think it's like there's just no hope?
Yeah, well, I won't necessarily quote scripture here, or not in the traditional sense, but the Austrian psychiatrist Viktor Frankl, in one of his books, Yes to Life in Spite of Everything, has a phrase that basically says it's the humanness in the doctor that awakens, the humanness in the patient, and I'm the chaplain here. So we'll say it's the humanness in the chaplain, or the humanness in the others that, that awakens the humanness in us. And I think when we're dealing with grief and loss, particularly in military context, it's about being present and with people in those moments of loss, whether that's a very immediate loss, someone who has just died in an accident or been killed in some form of combat operation, and being with those survivors, or being part of the dignified transfer of the remains, to working with someone who maybe served decades ago and is still sitting with the loss of a friend or a family member, and how that can stick with them for years and years and years. And presence, of course, sounds simple, but I think it remains one of the most important things. And from what I've learned from being present with people in the midst of a lot of complex loss over the years is knowing that that this isn't a game, that these aren't, we aren't or they aren't toy soldiers, so to speak. I'm paraphrasing something I've heard from someone processing loss, is that this is all very, very serious. It's very real. And we need to take loss and grief very mindfully, and take people seriously that are going through these things.
Now, Tom, you know, we were talking about maybe some of the differences, and I just want to share the two extremes, right? Chaplain, when I was in Iraq in 2009, 2010, we had tragedy, and three of our soldiers out of our MP unit were lost.
Yeah.
And I carry, and I'm showing them to you, I carry these remembrance cards for James Wordish and for Daniel Drevnik and for Carlos Wilcox. And if not for the chaplain corps, I don't know how many of our unit members would have gotten through this tragic loss of these three soldiers, very important members of this unit. But Tom, when you talk about Vietnam and your experiences, the chaplains weren't as accessible as they were to us, as they are to us today.
They weren't, and maybe they were up in the front lines. I was combat support. They were probably out there with the combat soldiers and that were out there. But I lost friends, didn't know how to deal with it, was very young. So I just let it seep in and dealt with it and put it in the back of my mind. And I remember them every day, but when I go to the Vietnam Wall, I remember them vividly and emotionally. And on Memorial Day, I remember them quite vividly. And I want to do that because I want to remember. But the other part of that is, you know, we lost 59,000 troops and, you know, or thereabouts. But since that time, because of toxic exposures, Agent Orange, you had the burn pits, there were all kinds of things, we've lost hundreds of thousands more. And so on Memorial Day, I feel compelled to not just remember the ones that were killed in combat, but also the ones that were killed because of the circumstances, because of the toxins, because of the place that we were asked to go, and we went. And, you know, I'm grateful that I lived through it, but I would have wished I'd have been able to find one of you fine chaplains just to sit down with for a few minutes and try to figure out how to process it, because when it first happens to you, you have no idea how to do this, and it hurts today as much as it did the first day.
Yeah.
All right. I do want to ask Chaplain Finger, you know, we had Chaplain Usset explain a little bit about Memorial Day, what it means to him. And I'm just wondering if you have some type of a special moment or a memory or maybe something that defines Memorial Day for you.
Mr. Lyons, I think you said, I want to remember. And so I'm mindful. And then Chaplain Usset, you talked about presence and about being open and available and using what God gave us, using our senses. And so I remember walking through granite pieces of stone, white marble, whether it's our many national cemeteries or state cemeteries, and tracing the names, using my touch, and just simply saying their names because I want to remember. And just taking in the smell, because it's always in the spring. And so there's still times where you get the scent of lilac or crab apple, just depending, or I think the time of cherry blossoms was done. And just breathing in that spring air, mindful of whether you're close to the Mississippi River or any of our number of 10,000 lakes, just simply taking in that cool mist and just feeling it, and just sitting in that moment. You yourself had three physical cards that you held up. Now you can see these cards, but you can also touch them, and they're tangible. And so I think just having, and then many of us carry bands upon our wrist with the names of those we've lost, or maybe we still have their dog tags, and you can rub your fingers across the letter plates, and simply remember. That's what this day is all about. It's taking that time, a national day of remembrance, for that which we lost and for those that never came home.
You know, Tom, having the chaplains in the studio with us, it's nice because, you know, for those of us serving, often you kind of think about the chaplains kind of like, you know, they're over here and they're always just so squared away, right? They're taking care of everybody else. And to listen to Chaplain Finger, I mean, he humanizes a chaplain. We're in the studio, we can see him in the emotion in his eyes and in his voice, you can hear that. And I think that's one of the special things about having great chaplains around.
It is, and we've asked the questions before of chaplains. Who takes care of the chaplains?
Yeah.
They take care of each other. And they need the help as much as we do, but they have the experience that the troops need when suffering a loss. And well done, men.
So I will quote a young chaplain back that we lost that didn't come home from Korea, Chaplain Father Capon. And he was approached by one of the senior chaplains. And simply, Father Capon was known for his jovial spirit and just always a smile in his presence, right? And the chaplain asked, "Well, how do you maintain this?" And he goes, "That's simple. They take care of me." Mm. And I have always found that to be true amongst our soldiers, is that in all honesty, yeah, man, they take care of us just as much as we take care of
great
them.
Great answer. Yeah. We need to take a short
all
break.
Right.
The special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. You can find more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio in this special Memorial Day broadcast. It's brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. I've got Mr. Tom Lyons in the studio with me. We've got chaplains from the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota National Guard State Chaplain, Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Tim Ussett, and the 34th Infantry Division Chaplain, Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Justin Finger. And Chaplain Ussett, great conversation so far. And, you know, we've been talking about loss. Obviously, Memorial Day is a time to remember those that have served and paid the ultimate sacrifice. One of the things that the military talks about is resilience. And I'm wondering if you might be able to talk about resilience in the context of spiritual resilience. And really, what does it look like inside of our military?
Yeah, resilience is in some contexts has become a four-letter word. It's become a way to, you know, individual fix thyself in the midst of really difficult circumstances. And a definition of resilience that I've come to appreciate is a paraphrase. It's our capacity to resist and sustain life. So not looking at it as simply a toxic positivity or bouncing back in adversity, but how do we truly sustain ourselves in the midst of joy, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of difficult things? And I think that's where I try to sit. And then from there, spiritual resilience, if we're thinking of it from the sense of how do I sustain myself in difficulty, to me at least, feels more inviting, because when we take a step back and think about military service, everyone in the military has raised the right hand to at least in theory engage difficult things. And now from that point, we're getting a bit into meaning and purpose. And from there, that's at least what grounds me. Part of what helps me maintain myself or engage in spiritual resilience is the discipline of caring for others, is the discipline of staying grounded in presence. For me, that can be scripture and prayer, but that could be jumping on a 70-year-old diesel tractor and, you know, driving around a field and pretending to farm. But for others, that's me. But for others, that they need to know that about themselves and know how they engage their religious tradition or belief system if they come from a different tradition. And being grounded in that. And that's part of what we do as chaplains. We don't invite everybody to engage or be grounded in our religious tradition. We invite them to be grounded in what is their tradition and know what that means for them and engage in those disciplines and in those practices. And that really can then get to that maybe more core definition of resilience, of how to maintain themselves or sustain life in the midst of the difficult things that we do in the military.
Mr. Lyons, I mean, this is why we have the chaplains come in. I mean, that's a wonderful way to describe resilience. I like the visual of a tractor, but what I took out of it was each individual person needs to understand what it looks like for them.
They do, and I think it's all about, today it's all about remembering. When I go out to Washington, D.C., and I go to the Vietnam Memorial, and I trace the names of my buddies that I lost, it's remembering. None of those things are comfortable. And they hurt. But I've always believed that if you carry their memories with you, are they really gone? And if we're enjoying a spring day, today's a beautiful day, the birds were singing, we're here, we're talking about those that have sacrificed for our country and our friends, and so long as we remember them,
yes.
I think they're still with us.
Yeah, well, and I think the there is being grounded in our practices, but I think it's important to say that the community is what grounds that. We are here collectively around Memorial Day, both as society, as military members, and we do that together. I think that is a core piece of spiritual resilience is the togetherness, whether of a veteran organization, a military organization, a church, and remembering that we are not alone in our grief and our remembrance.
Gentlemen, I've got a question for you, and this goes way back to my service in Vietnam, and that is, you're both lieutenant colonels, you're both chaplains, you're the state chaplain, you're the division chaplain. By the way, congratulations, what a magnificent, one of the best divisions in the history of the country.
And oh, it is the best.
We're not putting any pressure on you, but let's do a good job for General Sharkey over there.
Yeah.
My question goes back to, you know, I was a staff sergeant in Vietnam, and in those days, didn't know many generals. Fortunately, I know a lot of them now because of the show. But I think there was some reluctance to go talk to the chaplains if you knew where they were, because they're colonels, because they're officers. And the questions that I would have had and still have today are personal. And are you approachable? And today, I know the chaplain corps in the Minnesota National Guard is, but there's probably some troops, some soldiers and airmen that are thinking, God, I'd love to sit down and have a chat with a chaplain, sort this out so I can move on with things. How do you support that and encourage the troops to come and see you? You're not a lieutenant colonel. You're the chaplain. Come talk to me. I can help you.
Yeah, well, I do want to hear from Justin, but earlier when I was talking about presence and grief and loss, I think presence is what it comes down to, is when we are out embodied, whether that is rolling around in the dirt or in tents, as the division just was for the annual training. When we are out with people, that they can come to know and trust us rather than us hiding in a proverbial or literal office hoping that they come to us. But I go ahead, Justin.
I would definitely piggyback on that, is that that mentality that they will come and see. No, we go and find, I guess maybe the parable of the lost sheep, right? We've all been lost at some point in time. And so we as chaplains have our flock, we have our soldiers, and as I said before, they take care of us as much as we take care of them, but you need to be alongside, in a way, shoulder to shoulder. I think there's an old Latin phrase, which I can't remember what that phrase means. Do you remember that? Anyway, regardless.
It's really good, whatever.
Oh, I'm sure
it is. It's amazing.
Well, and the old Latin phrase, I think when it comes to the chaplain corps, is the religious affairs specialists and non-commissioned officers, because that is part of it. They are part of our team, and they are part of how we build trust, and they build their own trust, because sometimes if in the end we're a scary officer or a foolish officer, more that than scary, is we do have our non-commissioned officer counterparts and enlisting counterparts who are out in the same ways that we're out, building trust, offering care to our service members. And that's a big part of unit ministry team or chaplain section, because, again, this isn't a solo sport. It's a team sport.
Right, absolutely.
I like your Latin phrase from earlier. Rolling the dirt with the soldiers. That one I understand.
You know, you're right. You talk about the non-commissioned officer corps, the enlisted corps, right? We refer to the NCOs as the backbone of the Army. Each branch will say the same thing. And having that one more person out understanding, listening to, hearing, getting the pulse of the unit so they can report back, because you can't be everywhere. Just like the command team can't be everywhere. That's why you need a command sergeant major, a first sergeant, or senior NCOs to be out and about. So really important to be able to do the thing in presence. I love hearing that. Being where your soldiers are, where your troops are, where your airmen are, your sailors or your Marines. Because if you're not, how can you ever expect that they would even know who you are and then call on you in their time of need? And who knows, you might develop some type of a special relationship where that's someone now you can rely on. We talked about a time, you mentioned it earlier in the show, like, who do you go to, chaplain? You know, well, you might go to other chaplains. You know, I joked with Buddy Wynn all the time. We would get together for breakfast. That was, you know, that was my time with him, his time with me, you know, and it was a great relationship. Yeah. Gentlemen, so we've got about maybe 9 minutes or so left here, and I want to continue the conversation about what today is, the Memorial Day, and in remembering. And Chaplain Usset, you know, there's someone out there listening, and you know, maybe they're really not sure what they could do today. Right. Yes, we should put our flag down at half mast today. You know, yes, we should remember and honor those who have served. But is there anything that you might say to somebody of what they could do to make this a meaningful day for them as we try to remember all those who have served and paid the ultimate sacrifice?
Yeah, well, I think it in some ways it may be. Depends on their connection to the military. When I think about, there may be some families who don't know of anyone that's been directly killed, and to those people, I would invite go take a walk in a national cemetery. Go to one of our state veterans cemeteries and read some of the signs. As Chaplain Finger was saying, you know, the stones and feeling their names, saying their names is taking an intentional moment of or day of reflection. Whereas those who maybe directly know the people that have been killed or that have died, and maybe they haven't been to the cemetery. I mean, I think that is a communal place where there are many ceremonies happening all over the state, all over the country today. I know that many of our officers in the Minnesota National Guard, many of our chaplains are speaking at these events today. So going to those events, you can hear from different individuals and hear what they have to offer as we reflect on loss and reflect on those who've served.
Doug, we've got a few minutes here. I just want to mention we're going to have Commissioner Brad Lindsay on the second hour. And the state, there's four state veteran cemeteries. They had their ceremonies yesterday. And today at 10 o'clock out at Fort Snelling is the national veteran ceremony or cemetery here in Minnesota. And Chaplain, you're going to be out there. That starts at 10 o'clock. And the keynote speaker is the commander of the Fort Snelling National Cemetery Memorial Rifle Squad. They've been out there doing great work for a very, very long time.
And, yes, they have.
And so when you leave us today, you're going to have to go uniform up and head out to Fort Snelling.
Yeah, I guess flannel is not the uniform.
I mean, it looks good, though, for in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Tom. And we'll remind our listening audience again about that ceremony. Gentlemen, I'm going to pose this, and you know, you can pawn it to the other one if you want, this particular question. Can you just talk about your experience with a Gold Star family and their desire to or not to talk about the person that they lost in time of service? In my experience, they want to talk about it. I'm just wondering if you've had the same.
For one show, we interviewed a dozen families at an organization, a gathering of them, and they wanted to talk about the lost loved one. They wanted to tell you about them. They wanted to tell you or her the name, who they were, what they aspired to, and they really wanted to share that.
I think it's creating space in which to give those families an avenue to talk, to set that time aside. Because I think that I've never encountered a family that didn't want to talk with their loved one to share a memory that oftentimes our schedules or just simply the noise kind of overrides them, and they just don't feel like they have a place, or maybe now is not the time. And so to have a moment like this to create time, but also just simply, especially on an anniversary, of that death, just simply to give a call, not expect anything in return. A simple text. Usually, I kind of caveat that you don't have to call me back. You don't have to say anything, because maybe that's not the time they want to talk. But always being available to say, look, when you're ready, because they will be ready.
Yeah.
And making sure that once again, I think it goes back to presence. And obviously creating that space and time that they can. They can process what they want to process and what they want to share.
Yeah, well, I think, too, about the distance to the loss. I think for some, when the loss is nearer, I've experienced people wanting more space.
Sure.
And in some cases, whereas something longer ago can sometimes be easier to talk about, or some of the events that I've attended for Gold Star families, I'll talk to a family. They might say, well, I haven't come to any of these before. This is my first time coming. And the loss might have been 3 years ago, or it might have been 10 or 15 years ago. And I think recognizing that people have their own pace with grief, they have their own way of wanting to share stories, and their own way of maybe stepping back and being in silence or being more closed in how they process it.
Doug, my favorite example, and you've already brought up the name of Daniel Drevna. His parents put together a scholarship program to award $1,000 scholarships to soldiers who wanted to go into law enforcement, because his father was in law enforcement. And they've had just a marvelous time talking about Daniel. They turned a tragedy, a terrible, terrible thing, into something beautiful, because they've helped dozens, I think it's 50 or 60 young soldiers go to school with this scholarship program in Daniel's name. What a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I've had the opportunity to interview them as well about the scholarship program. And, it's difficult when something like that happens, right? This tragedy. And I think sometimes people feel resentment towards the military. It was the military's fault, you know, and that's a tough road to navigate, and I think, Chaplain, you know, it is that space. But then always being there, having that presence, being willing and ready when they are ready to engage with you.
Yeah, I was kind of reflecting a little bit, is that, and maybe talking is not maybe the best avenue, but simply to be with them in that remembrance, knowing that they don't have to talk about it, because you're both thinking about the same person, and you have your own memories and they have theirs, and just simply maybe being comfortable with the silence too. I think that's probably something that we are deeply uncomfortable with, because we want to fill that space with talk. And so I'll backtrack a little bit and simply making sure to create the space and the presence.
Gentlemen, we've got just over a minute left here, and what we always like to do when we have chaplains in the studio is just give them an opportunity to provide a scripture, a prayer, something And maybe there's something, Chaplain Usseter, you guys can tag team this, that you would like to share to help as we navigate this day and we remember those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah, well, I'm paraphrasing Viktor Frankl again, but some version of when we stand on the shoulders of our misfortune, we stand higher. And I don't mean that in the sense of an old American Western pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. I mean that in the sense of don't waste the loss. Don't waste it. Don't forget, but truly honor the loss of these individuals and these families that have experienced the loss of their loved one, either in combat or years later from Agent Orange. And when we can remember their loss, it can be a way of building our community, and that we can feel connected by coming together in it.
Chaplains, it's been an honor and a joy to have you in the studio for the first hour today to set up the next couple hours talking about Memorial Day. So thanks for joining us. And Doug, first hour's about over. This special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. You can find more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.